Ivan Hewitt was speaking to Placido Domingo, Charles Barber, Sir Peter Jonas and Christine Lemke-Matvey. And that Saturday music feature, Who Was Carlos Kleiber, was produced by Paul Frankel and first broadcast in September last year. BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's just gone 1 o'clock. Time for the news read by David Cornett.
A British doctor is among a group of 10 aid workers who've been shot dead by gunmen in northeastern Afghanistan. Dr. Karen Wu was killed alongside 6 Americans, a German and 2 Afghan interpreters as they returned from setting up an eye clinic in Nuristan. The police said they thought they'd been attacked during a robbery. The Taliban said it was behind the shootings. Floodwaters have breached a dam in southern Pakistan, threatening 2 large towns which have a population of 400,000 people. Emergency teams are now trying to repair another dam downstream. Thousands more people have been cut off by the floods in the Sindh province, where more heavy rains are forecast. A leading international medical clinic in Russia is advising people against travelling to Moscow because of the smog caused by high pollution levels. The smog was created by wildfires burning outside the city. Russia has accused the United States of breaching its obligations over a number of arms control agreements. The Foreign Ministry in Moscow has issued an 11-page document alleging that Washington had infringed accords on arms reduction and chemical and biological weapons. There's been a sharp rise in the number of young people studying at the Open University. An extra 34% of students under the age of 25 have opted for the distance learning degrees in an attempt to avoid large debts. Researchers in the United States say a giant island of ice has broken off a glacier in northern Greenland. The iceberg, which has a surface area of 100 square miles, is drifting between Greenland and Canada. Police are searching for thieves who stole 3 paintings, one of them by the sculptor Sir Henry Moore, from a gallery in Worcestershire. The artworks, said to be worth about £250,000, were taken early yesterday from the premises in Broadway. And the weather, there'll be scattered showers in northern and western parts, which will linger for some time. Elsewhere, it'll be cloudy, but there will be some sunny periods later in the south and east. BBC News and weather at 1:03.
And it was read by David Cornett. Well, time now on Radio 3 for the Early Music Show, presented by Lucy Skeeping. Today's programme features highlights from a concert performed by Academia Byzantina in Germany earlier this year, recorded by our colleagues in European Broadcasting Union. It begins with the overture from Vivaldi's opera Tito Manlio.
Welcome to the Early Music Show, and an energetic piece to start us off, the overture to Vivaldi's opera Tito Manlio. It was performed by Accademia Bizantina as part of a concert they gave in May at the 2010 Schwetzingen Festival. Situated roughly halfway between Heidelberg and Mannheim, this historic town is perhaps most famous for its fabulous palace, quite a tourist attraction with its over-the-top interiors and huge ornamental gardens. But it also contains one of the few surviving theatres in the Rococo style, which is where this concert was recorded. The harpsichordist Ottavio D'Antoni took over as director of Accademia Bizantina in 1996. And since then, the group's been on something of a roll. They bring a really passionate, vibrant sound to Baroque music, very Italian, you could say. And in fact, all the music we're going to hear today has some connection with Rome. For this concert, they were joined by the soprano Roberto Invernizzi, who we're going to hear now in another excerpt from Tito Manlio. Vivaldi began work on this, one of his most famous operas, in 1718, while he was employed at the Ducal Palace in Mantua. And if we're to believe the inscription on the first manuscript, he completed it in just 5 days. It's certainly one of his most colourful scores, featuring, as you already heard in the overture, a healthy dose of wind and brass instruments. The story tells of Tito, a Roman consul engaged in war with the people of Latium, and the conflicts of love versus duty. Tito's daughter, Vitella, is hopelessly in love with the enemy commander. But when Tito's son murders him, he's condemned to death. So there's an awful lot of angst and heart-searching. But by the end, everyone is finally reconciled. We come in near the beginning of Act Two. Tito has just denounced Vitella for being a traitor. She has turned against her country and should therefore be dragged through the streets and die. In this haunting aria, Lucio, a Latin knight, begs Tito to be merciful. Do not let cruelty against a heart you should love take hold of you. Show pity to your daughter.
Thank you.
soprano Roberta Invernezzi with an aria from Vivaldi's opera Tito Manlio, part of the concert given earlier this year by Accademia Bizantina. Their next two pieces come from another opera written some 20 years later, Adriana in Syria, or Hadrian in Syria. It's by Pergolesi, one of the most important composers of comic operas. He spent much of his short life working at aristocratic courts around Italy, and he wrote this opera to celebrate the birthday of the Queen Mother of Naples, no less. With typically Spanish emphasis on theatrical splendour, the new Bourbon King, Charles III, laid on the most expensive costumes ever seen, and he hired a magnificent cast as well, the region's most starry singers, for whom Pergolesi wrote some of his most challenging music, full of leaps and fast runs, so they could show off their virtuosity. The plot is rather complicated and involved, but suffice to say it contains the usual helpings of war, revenge, love, death and family honour. Here's Roberta Invernezzi again, this time in the role of Emerina, the daughter of the Parthian king Osroa. She and her lover managed to escape down a secret passage from the palace, but they were captured and imprisoned. Emerina now throws herself at her father's feet to beg for mercy, which is duly granted. His embrace and his forgiveness, his expressions and his sight rightly increase my suffering and guilt, she sings with gratitude. My afflicted heart clearly recognises what you have been to me and what I am to you. The Emperor Hadrian's daughter Emerina is granted a pardon by her father for trying to elope. The next aria comes from earlier in the opera, in Act One, and it centres around another of those love triangles and misunderstandings on which so many Baroque operas thrive. Sabina is betrothed to Hadrian, but he has a rival for her affections. It's plainly all getting too much for the poor girl, and she expresses her feelings in this gently controlled, decorated and highly skilful aria, Chi soffre senza pianto, whoever without weeping can bear to see a loved one with a rival, either has no heart or does not know true love.
Thank you.
Sabina's aria, Chi soffre senza pianto, from Pergolesi's opera Adriano in Syria. Roberto Invanizzi with Accademia Bizantina, one of the highlights from their concert given earlier this year in the Rococo Theatre of Schwetzingen Palace in southern Germany. Well, we heard a couple of extracts from an opera by Vivaldi earlier in the programme, and now we hear him perhaps in a more familiar genre, one of his violin concertos. Vivaldi himself was a virtuoso violinist, but he was also a teacher, well, director of music, that is, at Venice's orphanage-come-girls school, the Ospedale della Pietà, with some excellent young players and a regular audience of gaping tourists virtually guaranteed. He produced an enormous number of concertos, and most of them, I think at any rate, have that unmistakable Vivaldi sound. The one we're going to hear is in the key of D, and it's nicknamed Il Grosso Mogul. I'd love to be able to tell you why, but no one seems to know. Presumably it's a reference to Turks or Indians, and it does certainly have a little bit of an exotic feel at times. The first movement bristles and blusters with wild and warlike purpose. The second seems to show something of a gypsy influence. Vivaldi in Budapest? Perhaps not. Then comes a good dose of Vivaldi's trademark Four Seasons thing, which I guess is a bit of an example of why it's been said that he wrote the same concerto 500 times. Nevertheless, Stefano Montanari and his colleagues in Accademia Bizantina give us a fizzing performance, cadenza and all. So let's hear it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Grosso Modo, Vivaldi's Violin Concerto in D for Violin, Strings and Continuo, performed by Stefano Montanari and Accademia Bizantina. One of the highlights from their concert given in the 2010 Schwetzingen Festival. Well, just time to hear one more piece from the concert, and we've chosen another aria. It's Handel this time, from his opera Cesare in Egitto, Caesar in Egypt. First heard in London in 1724, it was an immediate success, the hottest ticket in town, partly because it's just fantastic music, and partly, no doubt, because the two leading roles, Caesar and Cleopatra, were played respectively by the celebrated castrato Senesino and the glamorous Francesca Cuzzoni. This excitable, fast-moving aria comes towards the end of the opera. Cleopatra is heavily guarded, surrounded by her weeping maidens, when suddenly Caesar appears, Errol Flynn-style, to rescue her. He and his soldiers drive out the guards, and the lovers are reunited. When a ship ravaged by storms comes safely into harbour, sings Cleopatra, there is no more to be desired. Now that my heart finds comfort after its suffering and tears, my soul regains its happiness. So, to end this programme of highlights from their concert, here for the final time is the soprano Roberta Invernizzi with Accademia Bizantina, directed from the harpsichord by Ottavio D'Antoni, with Da Tempeste il Legno Ifranto.
Oh,
Soprano Roberta Invernizzi with the Accademia Bizantina, directed by Ottavio D'Antoni, performing Cleopatra's aria Da Tempeste il Legno Infranto from Handel's opera Cesare in Egitto. And that ends today's edition of The Early Music Show. It was presented by Lucy Skeeping, and you can join Lucy again tomorrow when she looks back on the life and music of the Jacobean prodigy Orlando Gibbons. That's at the same time tomorrow, just after the 1 o'clock news.
Live from the Royal Albert Hall, an evening of otherworldly soundscapes at the BBC Proms. Thomas Dausgaard conducts the Danish National Orchestra and Choirs in a concert that traverses the ethereal heights of Ligeti's Lux Aeterna and the UK premiere of an extraordinary work, Music of the Spheres, by maverick Danish composer Ruth Longor. And the concert ends with Sibelius's Symphony No. 5. Join me, Andrew McGregor, as the BBC Proms continue this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.
Well, back to this Saturday afternoon. It's 2 o'clock and to the Proms now, in fact, an edited recording of last Monday's Proms Chamber Recital. It's presented by Catherine Bott.
Welcome to Cadogan Hall, home of Proms Chamber Music, every Monday lunchtime for the whole season. Today, we have a song recital given by two of Radio 3's current new generation artists, soprano Malin Christensen and baritone Henk Neven. Already this season, you may have heard them in the Proms at the Royal Albert Hall. Together with pianist Hans Isaacus, Malin and Henk have chosen a programme of songs in German. Henk Neven sings four songs by Brahms, Malin Christensen sings Berg's seven early songs, and both singers will share the platform for a selection from Hugo Wolf's Italian Songbook. First of all, the four songs by Brahms. He was a prolific songwriter, publishing 190 solo lieder over 43 years. The poet of these songs is Heinrich Heine, and we'll hear Sommerabend, in which a traveller stops on a summer evening to gaze at a wood nymph bathing in the hazy twilight. Then Mondenschein, in which soothing moonlight calms and blesses the fretful singer. And finally, Meerfahrt, an enigmatic account of a boat drifting out to sea in the mist with its cargo of two lovers. But first, a sentiment that no one could disagree with. Es liebt sich so lieblich im Lenz. How lovely to love in spring. And here to perform these four Brahms songs, we welcome Henk Neven and Hans Isaacus.
Die schönen Blumenkränze.